Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning, Chicago. It's Steve Cochran Show here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman, Dave Enitzier, Steve Grzanich, Mary Vandeveld, Mary Sandberg, Joe, Pete, and of course, Steve Cochran. I'm Justin Kaufman. Big show today on the program. Excited to get to it. We're going to talk, of course, about the North Korea summit, which happened last night in Singapore. The president on his way back. A tremendous achievement for President Trump, but was it worth it to legitimize the North Korean leader? And there's a lot of criticism about whether or not that summit should have taken place in the first place. We'll talk with ABC News as well as Professor Charles Lipson of International Politics at the University of Chicago. Talk about his thoughts about what this means for Asia. There's a lot that still remains to be seen when it comes to allies like China and South Korea and Japan and the other nations in that area. We'll talk about that coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. Also today, we're going to talk a little bit tennis, the Laver Cup coming to Chicago. Also, Orion Samuelson, of course, every Tuesday, and the Kid of the Week. So we've got a lot to do today on the program. Excited to get to it. We also have our text question of the day, which is an exciting one, and it's really based on what Mary Sandberg told us yesterday about the sump pump and how her relationship has been redefined and re-energized by living through a disaster.
Yeah.
Is that the best way to say that?
I would say that's exactly true. I suggest all couples have to do something where you have to do something in your home or personal life that makes you have to come together as a team and makes you appreciate the other person more.
Let me tell you how a man would put that. I hope I survive.
So the reason this is a big deal is because a lot of the time there has been disasters in your home before.
Right, we have gotten water in our basement before, but it's always the timing has been terrible in that Pat's been running out the door for a Blackhawks playoff game or the Hawks
convention. The door, so he doesn't have to do that.
And he's always in a suit, the shoes, and he's like, I'm so sorry, with his briefcase. And I'm like, thanks a lot. And so when we got
Dave,
water.
Are you a dive-in guy? Are you a guy that will just dive in?
Absolutely.
I'll dive in if it's a crisis.
If it's like a chore, I'll put it off as long as possible.
I'm the exact opposite. I don't dive in. I jump out of the way.
Mm. I'm good in crisis.
Are you?
But in like regular, you got to get stuff done. Yeah. Don't ask me.
But like I discovered Sunday night that our bifold linen closet door had come off one of the tracks. Now it's like 9 o'clock on Sunday night. That's normally I would jump in. That's a little bit beyond my time frame there.
Mm-hmm.
But I will get to it.
That's the kind of project I would take on, only because it has very insignificant value, and it makes it look like I'm busy. Like, that's where I feel like I would be, working on a door, like something that came off of the track. That's the kind of stuff where I'm like, I will do this. I will show my worth. If there's water in the basement, I'm like, I don't know.
Do you have to appear to be busy?
Yeah. That's the idea, right?
That's like my Thanksgiving move, right? My Thanksgiving move is I go immediately into the kitchen, and I break something. And then I'm kicked out of the kitchen immediately, and I'm told to go watch football.
Yeah.
Should we do this as a text question?
Yes.
Okay, so what's the question?
We talked about this yesterday. Yeah. We never really decided on it, but I would think it's what is the thing that you do as a couple guaranteed to start a fight?
Right. Because this is off of the fact that this weekend, this didn't start a fight. You guys came together.
This happened to not start a fight, but I've been angry probably the last 2 years that he's never been around to help me with the water, but... And what's because he was there to help me this time.
I can't believe what an easy mark you are because you love him more because he was available once.
I know, simply because I came upstairs. I said, hey, I need your help in the basement. Yes. We have water. And he said, okay, let me put shoes on. And I was like, that's all I want to hear.
That's all you want to hear.
That's all I ever want. I'm heading
out. Hottest guy ever. Put shoes on for the basement.
So this got us talking yesterday about what would be the opposite. For instance, in my relationship, I feel like there are trigger words. If my wife came up and she was hysterical about something, I would say, all right, relax. And if I do that,
that's a death knell. I completely agree.
I'm out.
Same thing in my house, man. Yeah. Relax or calm down. I might as well just punch myself in the crotch.
And you know it right away. It's like an instinct. You say
I'm telling you, it took me 30 years to know it.
Yes, true. But I'm
25
saying, in the moment when it escalates to DEFCON
28.
2. then you're like, why did I do that?
Yeah, my husband says to me, does it need to be done right now? Excuse me, sir, that is why I am doing it right now. So that would be my trigger.
What's yours? We'll evaluate. 312-981-7200.
Exactly, but here's the thing, and I think women get completely tunnel blind with this stuff. When you see it as a crisis and you see it as it has to be done right now, doesn't mean I see it that way. And we need to get on your page. And there's really no respect for my agenda at that point, which is sitting around.
Right. Usually when
get
it's
on our
being,
page, sitting around.
That phrase comes out most on Sunday nights. As you know, Sundays are kind of stressful when you work in early morning. Anybody who works
Sunday morning. Sunday night, school night, it's ugly.
Everybody's in a bad mood Sunday night.
Right? Everyone's in a bad mood. Right, Mary. Man. Exactly. And so I will be folding laundry or emptying the dishwasher because I don't like it hanging over my head. I don't want to do it Monday morning, you know. And that's, it's always when he's sitting down and he's like, do you want to watch one more show? No, I'm going to fold laundry. Does it need to be done right now? No. I want to do it right now because that helps me relax on Sunday night. And he then, like, I don't need your permission to take a break on these tasks. I'm the only one doing them anyway, you know. Like, I don't need that, like, hey, I'm cool if you leave the laundry. Oh, thanks, honey. I can do it tomorrow. No problem. Look at this. I loved him this weekend, and now I'm getting angry at him.
See? There you go. What's the thing that starts your fight?
Wait, how many years have you been married?
A year and a half.
Oh, wow.
Two in August, I guess. So. But we've been about there a long time, so. And we were probably together in a past life.
Doesn't count.
312-981-7200, that's your text question. What starts a fight in your house? All right, I'm avoiding the obvious here. If you're waking up this morning, no, nuclear war didn't start. It appears that Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump are now BFFs. The ramifications of that remain to be seen. We'll get to the top six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Top six at six, six things you need to know to get you through your day, or at least make you really super smart. Item number one, the world will see a major change. Those are the words of Kim Jong-un, the North Korean leader, at the end of talks with President Trump in Singapore. We had a historic meeting, decided to leave the past behind, he added. Dennis Rodman gave a interesting interview to Chris Cuomo on CNN last night, where he broke down and cried and talked about how happy he was because he's friends with both men, and we believe that to be the only human on the planet who is friends with both men, both of whom don't have a lot of friends.
Neither does Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, well, I guess that all works in. Yeah. We'll talk to Charles Lipson about, an hour from now, a little more than that. Mm-hmm. Over what went on here. One of the major concerns in breaking news fashion this morning is that President Trump appears to have given up the joint military exercises with South Korea that the North Koreans had such a problem with. The question is, what do we get in return? And a promise to denuclearize is nothing more than a promise.
And South Korea military this morning, by the way, has issued a statement saying that this is news to them. That they have not been, that they didn't know this was coming, and that they're surprised by that. And well, the other part of this too is that I don't know if you saw the ABC interview with Trump, with George Stephanopoulos. That's pieces of it are coming out now after the summit. Trump said that he had spoken with Kim before this meeting on the telephone. Hmm. So this is not the first time that the two leaders have actually spoke with each other.
Listen, it's hard not to take this for what it appears to be. And that's a photo op and a story for the president to tell and a huge win for Kim.
Well, we talked about it yesterday. We'll talk about it again today. What's it mean for the rest of Asia, those countries not at the table? So, yeah, if information like joint military exercises or the relationship with China are on the table and they're not at the table, what does that mean for the future? So we'll talk about that.
China and Russia want the United States out of the peninsula. This is a good way to keep us out of the peninsula. Now, maybe that's what Donald Trump is going for here, but that doesn't seem to make us safer.
I'm not sure that that'll ever happen, though. I can't see that that is even on the table, or the president even has that negotiating chip. Maybe military drills and
well, but if you give up the
stuff,
military but, drills and you suddenly start pulling troops out of South Korea.
But those are different things, right?
Mm-hmm. One domino
maybe,
may have fallen.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Trump did say that it's very expensive to keep these troops in Asia.
I would think the military and the generals would have something to say about that as well. Again, I know he's the commander-in-chief and he runs the military, but it does feel to me that there are a lot of people who weren't at the table that probably should have been at the table.
Well, here's the deal. He gets credit for being the only president ever to have pulled off a meeting with him, but you have to do more than the meeting. You have to actually have something positive come out of the meeting other than a promise from them and a give up by us. So let's hope that that's not what happened last night. Meanwhile, Trump economic advisor and former TV talking head Larry Kudlow had a heart attack last night. It always amuses me when I hear the term mild heart attack. I know you got to score them somehow, but if you've ever had one, nah, they're not mild.
Yeah.
None of them are mild. If you're curious what it feels like, have someone near you stand on your chest right now. I'll wait. Larry Kudlow said to be in decent condition this morning and is expected to make a recovery that is all of full for anyone who suffered a heart attack. Next, Jeff Sessions has effectively closed the door to a large group of asylum seekers, ruling that domestic and gang violence are not grounds for being granted entry into the U.S. to escape those conditions. Sessions' point is that people scam the system. All of them?
Yeah, that's a hard one because you are assuming that the gang violence that we know is the same gang violence that other countries will know. That is a very wide and generic topic or phrase.
We ought to be able to do the borders safely and effectively and efficiently without losing the humanity that this country was built on.
Well said.
Next, first direct flights from Chicago to Africa and back arrived at O'Hare yesterday, marking those first direct flights. I don't know which part of Africa. I thought you could fly direct to Africa.
I did, too. I was surprised to read that.
I didn't know that.
I never tried, but...
Yeah. We should go on a safari.
I'd love to.
We should do a show safari.
Can we do a remote?
Oh, yeah, that'd be super remote. I'd be so remote, that'd be like extra remote.
Ethiopia, I'm being told, is the place in Africa.
But don't we have direct flights to
Cape
Town?
Yeah.
Nope, not from Chicago.
So you have to go to London or Heathrow or something like that?
Or Denver. Ivory Coast? Madagascar?
Nope.
Stop me when I get to one.
Our expert in the newsroom, Domiti Pongo, is saying no.
Well, Domiti would know. His family's from it.
He's on Expedia, just quickly typing every time we mention
Domiti's screaming in the background. This is my thing. I know this.
And he says the flight took 3 days. So
that's... Do you guys need a rental car?
Next, difference maker. That's the term Northwestern is using to describe quarterback Hunter Johnson, the second five-star recruit to join the Wildcats during the Pat Fitzgerald era. Let's go live, Dave Ennett, the voice of Northwestern football, sports, and all things Northwestern. He is currently outside Pat Fitzgerald's home, standing in his lawn.
No, I'm not.
All right, who's Hunter Johnson?
Hunter Johnson was the top-rated quarterback in the class of 2017. He originally committed to Tennessee, but then opted instead to go to Clemson, where, of course, they had won a national championship, and Deshaun Watson was moving on, and he came in as possibly the heir apparent to Hunter Johnson, to Deshaun Watson. He played in 7 games last year as a freshman, but there are 3 quarterbacks there, and Clemson's Clemson, and he's an Indiana native, wanted to be, I'm sure, a little closer to home, and his brother played at Northwestern a few years ago. So Purdue was very interested, Duke was very interested, but he opted to play for the Wildcats, and so he'll come in, he'll sit out this year under the transfer rules. He'll be eligible to play in 2019, which will be the year the Wildcats need a quarterback because the incumbent Clayton Thorson will have graduated.
Can he practice with the team?
He can practice, yeah.
Okay.
What archaic rule. It's one of those that continues in college football where you're like, you're going to take away a year of eligibility for someone to transfer when there's so much big money that's at stake with all the colleges. It's like, come on. This is the rule that you're going to stick by?
Justin, I think a lot of people are tiring of the rule, too, and yeah. I wouldn't be surprised to see a change. Of course, now there's the graduate transfer rule, which does allow players to play immediately. If they have that 1 year of eligibility left and they can, they've graduated, they can move on to another institution. But this is a big deal for Northwestern.
Is there an over 30 rule? Like if you're over 30?
If you're over 30, get out.
Can you play? Can you just automatically play?
Next. That terrible story. Bodie Miller and his wife Morgan Miller, volleyball star, their 19-month-old daughter drowned in a swimming pool on Saturday. Yeah. They have another child, a little boy, I believe, who's 3, and she is expecting another child this fall. In how this happened, we don't know. But this appears to be a vacation home of some sorts, and the baby, the toddler in the pool, either fell in, wandered away. But just an awful story, and all the associated members of the ski community expressing their condolences, as we do as well. 6:31 at your top six.
That's it!
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
I forgot to mention something else, too. When we do the Chevy update, the giveaway, the Silverado giveaway update at 720, I have Blackhawks convention passes to give away. So stick around at 720. Chevy, Blackhawks. See what I'm doing there?
Yes.
Blackhawks convention passes, again, at 720. We'll do an update on the Silverado giveaway there. All right. It's time now for Kid of the Week time. Our Kid of the Week is an old guy this morning. Good morning, old guy. How are you?
Good morning.
Cole, how old are you?
I'm 18.
18, and you're out there doing good in the world.
Thank you.
That's what I'm being told. Cole Bache is a Rockford East High School senior, and a program there called Capstone requires students to do community projects. Now, this isn't some sort of penalty for a crime you committed, right? It's not community service?
No, this is actually my English class.
Okay, got it. Now, you're a Rockford kid, proud of that, and to help raise up Rockford and help the kids in the general community, what did you choose to do?
I started looking into some sort of problem that I could try to fix, and I noticed that most of the kids my age didn't really want to stay in Rockford after college. And so there's an organization in Rockford called Rockford Promise, which pays for some sort of secondary education for those students to stay in the city, and I raised enough money for a whole student to go to college next year.
How much are we talking about?
I raised $10,000.
How about that?
All right.
Way to go. 18 years old. Wow. 18 years old. He's got a lot to do. He's got a lot to do. He's got video games to play. he's got to ignore his family. He's got stuff to do. But he's not like that, because Cole Bache is not a typical kid thinking about himself at that age. Cole is trying to help the community. Cole, I'm impressed. That's a very cool story.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Cole, let me ask you a question. Just, you know, I know in my case, I wanted to leave home when I was 18 years old. I wanted to go to a different city or try something new. How much of it is people wanting to get away from where they grew up as opposed to getting away from Rockford?
I think that Rockford has a bad rep. We had made the Forbes list a few years ago, being one of the most miserable cities. And I've grown up in Rockford, and I love Rockford. I don't think that there's, to me, any reason to move away. Even though I'm going outside of Rockford for college, I plan to come back to Rockford right after school.
Well, I'm sure that makes sure your parents and the community quite happy. Where are you going to school?
Augustana.
All right, cool. Well, that's not so far away. You can make it home from there. And here's the deal. This sort of giving that you're doing now and this sort of organization that you're doing now, you can take that up in college and you can continue it back home.
Yeah, I think the Rockford Promise people were quite happy. They were hoping I could do this event every year, which might be a possibility. I had fun doing it.
Were you surprised at how much work it goes into organizing a fundraiser?
Yeah, I did a benefit concert, and so it was a lot of steps that go behind them.
And I understand a benefit concert had a local tie as well with the band that played, right?
Yeah, it was Miles Nilsson and the Rusted Hearts, and they're a very local Rockford band. And they have a very Rockford following, and so that's why I picked them to play at an event like this.
Do you know who Miles Nielsen's father is?
I do. Yeah, I'm very familiar.
That'd be Rick Nielsen?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And Justin, for $200 to continue, you have control of the board.
Yeah.
Rick Nielsen, what band?
Cheap Trick.
Cheap Trick. That's congratulations,
the
Justin.
Heart of Rockford, the pride of Rockford.
Pride of Rockford,
and
he's exactly
Miles
right.
Nielsen and Rusted Hearts were guests on my show, The Download, back in the, and they played live in studio. Cole, tell us what's great about Rockford.
We have such a good park system. We have some great golf courses, so many local restaurants. There's so much to do, but you just kind of have to get out of that mentality that Rockford is this miserable city and start looking at all the positives that are within the city.
And the Rockford Ice Hogs.
Rockford Ice Hogs are pretty big, too. Yeah.
What do you have to do? What do you have to do to change people's perception? I mean, obviously with what you're doing with your project and also the fundraiser to keep people here, but what at the heart do you have to do to change local perception?
I think it starts with the youth, because we're the ones who are going to be living in this community, and we're the ones that are going to start raising families in this community. And so if you want to change the perception of Rockford, you need to change it by a larger group. And that's what I was kind of trying to do, is by keeping all these students in Rockford, then that kind of helps benefit the whole perception of Rockford being such a better community.
It's our new pal, Cole Bache. You got brothers and sisters?
I do. I have two younger brothers, Ben and Zach.
Yeah, how old are they?
Ben is going to be a freshman, and Jack's going to be a junior.
Okay. They paying attention to Big Brother and what you're doing? Did they help at all?
They helped a little bit. At the event, I had a lot of people from my capstone class come out and help, and they were there helping. So,
what do you think you're going to do after college? You have any idea of got a dream in mind, a career?
I'm still working on it. I think I'm going to major in multimedia journalism and communications.
Okay, and I give the same sermon to everybody. Here's what you need to do, and I mean starting today. You need to start blogging today. You need to start shooting video of yourself today, and you need to start posting it today. And you don't need to be bogged down in the, well, I don't know what I want to talk about, or I don't know what I want to say. Just write and broadcast, netcast every day.
Okay.
He goes, dude.
Okay, Uncle Steve.
He goes, dude, it's summer. Why am I getting homework in the summer? I just raised $10,000, man. Get off my back. I'm telling you, Cole. It's the key to you kicking tail. All right, Cole Bache. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate you being on. How about some Lou Malnati's Pizza? You up for that?
Sounds great. Thank you.
And an Apt gift card. Come on over to our part of the world and go to Apt and get something nice for yourself. Yeah. Thanks for being a good person.
Nice to meet you, Cole.
Thanks for having me.
6:47. What's the shouting going on? Did you catch that in the background?
Yeah, you don't have to yell, man.
They like,
yeah, what was that about?
Tell us how good Rockford is.
I think Cole should come to Chicago and do his program.
Nice kid, huh?
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, but to promote Rockford?
No, to promote Chicago.
Oh. He comes to downtown Chicago to promote.
He can do
Rockford.
Both. Why
he
not?
He can do both. Maybe that's what he could do after college, is just go town to town promoting.
Yeah. Town
stealing
promoter.
Citizens.
Franchising opportunities, yes, abound.
Instead of the town crier, the town promoter.
Yeah.
Yeah, you may
the
have
hype
something.
Man, the town hype man.
Yes.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
His mother told him someday you will be a man, and you will be the leader of a big old band. Many people coming from miles around to hear you play your music when the sun goes down. Maybe someday your name will be in light, saying, Johnny, be good tonight.
I got a problem this morning. I don't drink coffee.
What?
And the place I normally get a Diet Coke from, there's a little caffeine kick in the morning. I don't want to say which place it is. It rhymes with McDonald's. Okay, incredibly slow service today, so I had to blow out of the line and leave.
Did you order and then blow out?
I had to.
Ah, that's
I had
hilarious.
No choice. No choice. I felt
so
terrible
right now
about
they're
it.
They're still like, where'd he go?
Yeah, they're waiting for me. Oh, so, you know, I could be cranky today, but I'm sucking it up.
Or you could send some of your people, like, to Walgreens across
the
street.
Well, we used to have vending machines here. We used to have things, places you
that could... We used to have a lot of stuff
we
here.
We used to have people in this
people.
Building.
Number one thing being people.
And I'm here to tell you that 303 has no vending machines. At least I haven't found them yet. Hmm. So.
But I do have a Diet Coke in my lunch bag.
Not for long if I get up there.
Uh-huh.
Can you walk it over, Mary?
No.
There is a kiosk down in the lobby that has soft drinks and stuff. Yeah. But
in the new building, you're talking about.
Cute bakery. Cute little bakery.
They open at 7, I believe.
Isn't there a Dunkin' Donuts over there?
There is.
Pedway. In the Pedway.
Do they sell Diet Coke at Dunkin' Donuts?
I don't
Donuts?
Think so.
Well, they better start.
We should get you one of those little college fridges, you know, the ones you used to have in your dorm rooms. That way you can put it under
We had one of those in the download office.
Yeah.
Pete is saying that it's a Pepsi Pour building. Is that it? It's a Pepsi building?
Oh.
That's fine. I don't mind Diet Pepsi. Mm-hmm.
I've known Pete.
The new place, 303.
You know, no, there's Coke. There's Diet Coke.
Oh, there is?
Yep. Down in the kiosk.
Already a fight.
Pete is very aggressive out there.
Unlicensed.
I know that Pete is I've dined with Pete, mm-hmm. where the waitress will say, he'll say, can I have a Diet Coke? And they'll say, it's Diet Pepsi. Is that okay? And he says, no.
No.
Let me hear that again. How does he say it?
No.
No.
And it almost is like a dining experience ruiner.
What's funny is
he stays pouty the whole time.
Sandberg's impression of men There's really only two. It's snippy like that, or what does a guy sound like when he's just being a guy?
Patrick in particular says, "Hey, so I was sitting on the hammock and..."
That's the other guy voice that she does. That's a guy.
I will say there's also another problem.
You make fun of your husband that way?
No, I don't do his voice. I only do Patrick. That's really the only... That's my stepson.
No, you've made fun of me that way. You've made fun of Dave that way. You've made fun of John DeCoste that way.
You made fun of me that way?
Absolutely, behind your back.
How do I sound?
You? No, you would get a high voice.
Oh.
You'd be more whiny like Pete, yeah.
All right, good.
Yeah, that would be how...
That's an honor. I'll take that.
I would do that. We have another problem. I am one of those
people...
Wait,
another problem bigger than the Diet Coke problem?
It's very similar. Okay. I have a 32-ounce neoprene water bottle that I fill every morning. And up until yesterday, I could fill it still here. And I went upstairs today to try to fill it with the water thing, and it's disconnected.
You know, it'd be great. This is a perfect opportunity for you to go to the Walgreens a block away and get you a bottle of water and me a Diet Coke.
That's right.
I could do this.
Yeah. See how that works?
It's not raining, so.
Let me toss you my wallet. At 6:55, I want to say hi to my niece, Eden, who doesn't know she's about to be on the radio in front of hundreds of thousands of people. Lean into that microphone. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I thought it was cool what you're doing today. Well, first off, Eden is 20 years old, and she's going to go work on a farm in Quincy soon, and then you're going to Hawaii.
Yeah, then I'm going to Hawaii for 2 months.
It's the typical Quincy-Hawaii bounce.
So typical. Yeah.
Quincy to Hawaii.
Yeah, one leads to the other.
What's this website called?
Workaway.
Workaway.
Am I promoting them now?
No, I have not at all. We get nothing for that. But Workaway is just another one of these deals where, you know, kids can go on or people can go on, and you end up having this adventure where you go somewhere and work. You don't
know if they're killed. Wait, so Workaway set you up at a farm and then set you up in Hawaii?
So it's actually, you work individual to individual. So Workaway is the, organization who kind of connects the people, but they don't really do anything. You know,
they're the hub.
They're the
Airbnb of jobs.
Exactly, yeah. And so I'm... Some people offer a wage or whatever to work, but pretty much the deal is that you work 20 to 25 hours a week in exchange for like room and board.
And then you go and do whatever. And by the way, God bless Quincy, but you got a lot of free time in Quincy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little concerned.
Well, we'll have to ask Orion some farm skills later when talk to him for Eden.
Now, your aunt and I both grew up in dairy farm country, and I worked a little bit on a farm. Okay, I milked a cow once. So this is hard work. Are you sure you're up to this?
Yeah, I'm really excited to...
find out if you're up to this?
Find out if I'm up to it. I think that I kind of like the idea of physical labor because...
I love it.
I don't know, maybe I want to be a little healthier or something
physical, that. I think that. I always think I could get a job as a landscaper so that I could get my workout out. And work in the same thing.
How many of you want to be 20 again to just go, I'm going to go to Hawaii for 3 months?
I wish we would have had these kind of opportunities when we were growing up.
Well, here's the other thing she's doing. She's making money today to fund her trip. What are you doing today?
Walking dogs in the city.
You know about this website, WAG?
Yes, I do know about WAG.
WAG is like Uber for dog walking. Right?
Yes.
Is that a good summation?
Mm-hmm. This is we made it so easy for this generation to work.
Right.
Yep.
So basically, you wait to see where jobs will pop up that you might be interested in. You click on it as fast as you can so some other creep doesn't take your dog.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then you go to some stranger's house. You go into their house. You rifle through their things.
Yes.
And then you walk their dog.
Have you ever had the humiliating experience of having to walk into a store and be like, "Hi, can I get an application?"
No.
That's not a thing anymore.
No.
You go into the local grocery store and then they hand you a piece of paper. That's gone.
I went into a movie theater and did that. That movie theater I worked at for 3 weeks.
Oh, you got the job.
Three whole weeks until I...
said no more.
Said no more because I would walk in every day and they would say, "Oh, yeah, actually, we have too many workers here. You need to go home."
That's why she's doing the gig. You know, Justin, let me explain
this. There can't be too many workers.
Justin, this is the gig economy.
Yeah.
Okay. So write that down. Gig economy. So you understand what I'm talking about. Well, I'm proud of you. I think it's cool. And I've got your bail money set aside when you need it.
Okay. That's good. Yeah. I probably will.
Got a SWAT team going into Maui to rescue her.
It's Bitcoin, but still, it's bail money.
Okay.
All right. So here's what I'll do. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Connor Finnegan from ABC News. He covers the State Department. What's Mike Pompeo think of the Trump trip? We'll find out coming up on 720 WGN.
You'll be seeing everything in just a little while. The letter that we're signing is very comprehensive, and I think both sides are going to be very impressed with the result. A lot of goodwill went into this, a lot of work, a lot of preparation. I want to thank everybody on both sides, Secretary Pompeo and all of his counterparts. They were absolutely fantastic.
Connor Finnegan standing by from ABC News. Connor covers the State Department and knows that Mike Pompeo had some very specific things that he said would make this successful or not. And good morning to you, Connor. Did those things get achieved?
Good morning, Steve. You know, I think it's fair to say at this point, not yet. This summit was about getting these two leaders in the room, and there have been varying expectations set by the Trump administration about what that would actually accomplish. Now that we have this signed joint statement, there's very little meat on the bones so far. But what President Trump has said is that this is the beginning of a process, and our Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, as you said, will begin implementing that process. He will head to South Korea tomorrow to meet with both South Korean and Japanese counterparts. He heads to China in the afternoon after that, and that is where he'll begin to really set the work of implementing a denuclearization agreement.
Pompeo got this started and deserves a lot of credit. Trump deserves credit for having a meeting that no other president had, but this has to be more than a photo op. So how do we get to the point of verifying that they will do what they say they'll do?
Yeah, you know, that's the key question here. It is, you know, it's the first time that Kim Jong-un, this new young leader of North Korea, has signed an agreement like this. So, as you said, you know, it's not just the photo op. There is some progress here. But the most important part, which Secretary of State Pompeo himself said on Monday, is the verifiable, and what that looks like. This agreement has nothing about inspections. It has nothing about North Korea declaring its nuclear sites, of which, you know, we still don't know a tremendous amount. And that's the work that their teams, you know, at the level of Secretary of State Pompeo and his counterpart Kim Jong-chol in North Korea, that's the work that their teams will now begin to do as early as next week, we're hearing.
North Korea, of course, in their bargaining and what they want out of this is a smaller U.S. military footprint in Asia. Is that something that the United States Congress and the State Department and others are likely to give up?
I think it depends on which of those you're going to ask. You know, I think the Congress will be very hesitant to remove that U.S. military presence. I think a lot of American allies in the region, particularly Japan, but many South Koreans as well, will be hesitant to remove that presence. But that's what's key. You have to read the words of this joint statement so closely. It says the complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. To North Koreans, that means
everybody
removing the quote-unquote... It means removing the United States nuclear umbrella. And so it means removing troops, which President Trump himself has said he's open to. You know, he talks often about wanting to scale down military presences abroad to save American taxpayers back home some money. So he's expressed an openness to getting rid of those troops, which, again, as you said, is exactly what North Korea wants.
How much listening does he do to Pompeo? It appears, obviously, much more than his predecessor, but Pompeo seems to have a pretty good handle on this for the relative short amount of time he's been in the job. And I think all of our concerns, and this is not just a cheap shot at the president, is I don't think he understands the ramifications of anything beyond today. So how does Pompeo balance that out?
You know, he's done an excellent job of building that relationship with the president. They didn't really know each other at all before he was tapped to be CIA director. But as CIA director, he was in the White House multiple times a week to brief the president himself, which is a bit unusual for the CIA director to do. Usually you send over a lower level official from the agency for that. But they built a relationship. And I've been told from sources close to Pompeo that one of the reasons why Rex Tillerson was fired and pushed out, in addition to having a bad relationship with Trump, as you said, is because Trump wanted Mike Pompeo in this role to be the top diplomat to deal with this very issue. He's now been to North Korea twice before. He's met with their chief negotiator three times, including that time a couple weeks ago in New York City. He had met Kim Jong-un twice before as well, one of the only American officials to have done that, you know, beyond Dennis Rodman up until today. And so he's really become the point person, and he's able to manage both the president's expectations, the president's needs, with the work of being the top diplomat very well so far.
there's so much to be made about the military presence and, you know, obviously the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. The critics will suggest that this meeting, this historic meeting between the two leaders, legitimizes Kim Jong-un in the world setting, especially in light of the fact of the human rights violations in North Korea, and that has not been brought up at all. Has there been any talk about the secondary issues when it comes to the North Korea leader and what's been happening over decades in North Korea?
Yeah, it's a really important question to consider. And President Trump himself said at a press conference after the summit that it was raised. He did discuss it, but he was pretty clear and pretty forthcoming with the fact that it wasn't the chief concern here, and he didn't really address it. He didn't really hammer the point home. A lot of the sanctions that the United States has on North Korea, a lot of the reason that North Korea is such a pariah on the international stage is because of those human rights abuses. The United Nations in a report last year said that there is no parallel in the 21st century to the horrific abuses that the regime commits against its people daily. So it will remain to be addressed how much that gets played into all these other issues. Obviously, the nuclear issue is a very important one with global ramifications, but it's hard to see how this hasn't legitimized Kim Jong-un, this mid-30s dictator on the world stage.
And South Korea was or was not informed of the content of the meeting prior to the meeting?
Prior to the meeting, you know, they've been in near constant touch, they'll tell you. What's interesting is whether or not they got heads up that President Trump was open to ending the military exercises of South Korea and removing U.S. troops from South Korea. The reaction from the Blue House, from the South Korean presidency so far, it seems like they didn't know, they weren't prepared for Trump's statement on that. When Secretary of State Mike Pompeo hits there tomorrow, we'll see how much they knew in advance.
I know you got to run. The cynic is in me says that this is a photo op, and this is an opportunity to divert attention from the Mueller investigation and all the domestic problems here. But again, I want to give the president credit here. This is a major achievement, and if we open communication lines and we have a red phone of sorts, and talk can happen when things get hot, that's a positive. So for now, positive potential matters, but we have not yet heard a word from Congress about this. Is that going to happen soon?
Yeah, you know, everyone in the United States is sort of waking up to the pageantry, to the photos overnight. The president said today that he, and I should add, Mike Pompeo has said this before, that they're open to, that they would like the Congress to ratify some sort of treaty, some ultimate agreement here, because that gives the agreement longevity, and it helps to really, assuage the North Koreans' concerns that the United States would walk away from this.
It could have been a lot worse, folks. We wake up this morning with potential. Let's leave it at that. And thank you, Connor.
Thanks, Steve.
Appreciate you being on. Connor Finnegan covers the State Department for ABC News. Let's continue. And Domati is here. Domati, how long have you been married?
5 years. 5 years or so.
Domati's not married.
Not at all.
I love you. Went right to it.
Here is the lessons of the day as they continue to pour in from listeners. We started this conversation earlier. What starts a fight at your house? Breathing. It's from the 847. 708, for some reason doing the laundry upsets my wife. 773, smelly gas. Yeah, I'm guessing. 312. Do you need all that stuff on the kitchen table when the kitchen table becomes a place you set things when you walk in a house? 309, driving together because he's a really bad driver. 630, I don't know what this means. Go shorter answer is what wouldn't cause an argument in my house. I guess somebody's too talkative.
Yeah.
It seems like that.
Yeah, just say yes or no. Don't explain.
Yeah,
but then if we say yes or no, we're not communicating, are we?
Well, I feel stupid.
Maybe they don't communicate well.
Put it in
so
I statements.
That's what they should do.
Can we call this segment Reasons Domati Isn't Married?
It could be. 708, if you can go camping with your significant other alone, you'll have a happy marriage for a long time.
I agree with
the
that.
Camping test.
I agree with that.
Never camping been camping with
we
my
camped.
Wife.
We camped yeah. often.
So did we at the beginning of our marriage. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's because you were poor. You both didn't have a place to live.
Only had a tent.
847, how to start a fight with a wife? Get married. 14 years later, they're still fighting, according to Steve the limo driver.
This question is way too easy.
Again, the question, text question of the day is, what starts a fight in your house? 312-981-7200 is the telephone number. Charles Lipson coming up. More
did
on
huffing
what are,
make the list?
Did what make the list?
Huffing?
Oh, sighs?
Sighing.
Yeah. Charles Lipson coming up. More on North Korea. Chevy Silverado giveaway and tickets to the Blackhawks convention next.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Hey, it's the Steve Cochran Show at 726. I've got a Chevy Silverado with your name on it. Silverado spotting is the hashtag. Hashtag Silverado spotting. Send us a picture of a Silverado you see on the road. Send it to us. We'll post it. A lot of Silverados out there.
Yeah.
Silverado spotting at WGNradio.com/contest. You can enter. It takes you about 30 seconds to enter. And you could win this Chevy Silverado. It is centennial blue. It is beautiful. And it's a anniversary celebration, limited edition. It's not like you're going to be driving down the road and see somebody else in this truck. It's yours. Even Dan Hampton doesn't have this truck. And Hampton's a Silverado guy.
And you side up to Hampton at the stoplight, and you compare the trucks, and you did a little rev.
Mm-hmm.
No, I wouldn't do that.
You challenge Hampton, and then you come to your senses and go, isn't my truck pretty?
Yeah. And then you do that thing where the green light happens and Tamp takes off and you just go real slow.
Right, right, because you follow the speed limit.
Because you got a cooler car.
Heritage Bowtie Emblem, Centennial Door Badges, 22-inch premium silver painted wheels with chrome inserts, chrome toe hooks, door handles, mirror caps, and a beautiful Centennial Blue exterior. It is stunning. I've been in this truck. It's extremely comfortable. Extremely comfortable. Hmm.
What's
got all the bells and whistles?
What's so comfortable about it, Steve?
Well, I don't get in the back seat of cars or trucks or SUVs very often because I'm a control freak, so I like to drive.
Mm-hmm.
And when we shot the videos last week with Hamp and Manfredini, we did a thing where I was in the back of the truck and they were in the bed of the truck. And while they were talking, my head popped out of the window to frighten them. And so I was in the back of the truck, and I'm surprised at the amount of room in the back of this truck. Plus, you know, the towing capacity. It's got the literal towing capacity is Hamp, me, and Manfredini in the back of the truck.
That's pretty good.
That's
pretty
capacity.
Impressive.
Yeah.
Very impressive. So here's the deal. When you think Chevy, you can very easily think Blackhawks. You and I were talking off the air a second ago about Kane and Taves spraying their Chevys.
My favorite commercial. They skate up.
Yeah, skate up, stop, and you ice spray.
They stop, ice spray all over a Chevy.
And both of them have been Chevy guys from the moment they came to town. So, how about some convention passes to celebrate the Centennial Chevy giveaway? I got four passes to the sold-out Chicago Blackhawks convention, and you get in for free on me at 312-981-7200. What caller do you want to do, Super Joe?
Let's do number...
should do 88.
88 seems high. Okay. How about Kane's number?
That is Kane's number.
I mean, Taves' number.
Yeah, 19? Caller 19.
I just woke up. Caller 19. The Diet Coke's just kicking in now. Caller 19. In honor of Troy Murray and Jonathan Taves. Caller 19, 312-981-7200. Did Troy ever tell you that story about the number thing with Taves? Because Taves, aside from being a great guy, he has great respect for the game. But he was a kid when he came up.
Yeah.
So Troy, at that point, goes up to him and goes, hey, 19. Thinking they're going to bond over the fact that Troy wore 19. No connection at all. Taves just goes, yeah, 19.
Yeah, that's my number.
And he skated off and went, what's wrong with Troy? it's 7:30. Here's the deal. Caller 19, you get yourself a family four-pack of passes at the 11th Annual Blackhawks Convention at the Hilton Chicago, July 27th through the 29th. We're going to do this every day. Get your convention passes and hotel guest rooms today. I don't know that there are any left, but the one way to find out is ChicagoBlackhawks.com. Go there and follow the links. Okay? The texters continue to come. Should I play this Rodman thing? It's uncomfortable to listen to. Did you see it live like I did?
I saw. Dennis Rodman has the ability for you to shut off a TV. You really do. You see his face. You're like, nope. Never. Nope.
This is Chris Cuomo's new nighttime primetime CNN show last night. And Rodman does have the unique distinction of being the only one on the planet that anybody's aware of that is friends with Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump.
And nobody else.
Well, that's the thing. All three of them lack in friends.
Well, Trump has a rabid following. I'm assuming Kim Jong-un has a
friends.
Rabid following. But Dennis Rodman, who's in the Dennis Rodman fan club? Is there a crew, like a vampires in Los Angeles that are like, Rodman, we love you? Maybe from basketball, but that's over. He's ruined it with his post-basketball career.
I don't know him at all, but I know that I know a lot of people that do know him well, and almost to a man, they feel for him because he's emotionally unstable. As he demonstrated last night. Do we have the clip, Joe? Go ahead and roll it. Here's Rodman.
When I said those damn things, when I went back home, I got so many death threats. I was sitting up protecting everything. And I believed in North Korea. And when I went home, I couldn't even go home. I had to hide out for 30 days. I couldn't even go home. But I kept my head up high, brother. I knew things were going to change. I knew it. I was the only one. I never had no one to hear me. I didn't know how to see me. But I took those bullets. I took all that. I took everything. Everyone came at me, and I'm still standing. And today is a great day for everybody. Singapore, Tokyo, China, everything. It's a great day.
It is a great day.
I'm here to see it.
This is a historic day.
I'm so happy.
Dennis Rodman, and a lot of that was about Dennis Rodman, but the question previous to that was, what was it like after you made those statements in support of Kim Jong-un after your basketball summit meetings that you had?
It's a great Vice documentary on when Rodman went to North Korea.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Yeah, it is really good. You're exactly right. More on this coming up with Charles Lipson from the University of Chicago. He's a regular guest on your thing, right?
He is. He's a longtime Milt Rosenberg guest as well.
What did Milt ever do? Oh, that's right. Genius legend of WGN. Tony and Berwin won the passes to the Blackhawks convention. Congratulations, Tony. More of that coming up. And get your Silverado pictures in of yours or anybody else's. WGNRadio.com/contest. Go to Cochran Show on Twitter, Steve Cochran Show on Facebook, WGNRadio.com, or follow WGN Radio on Twitter and Facebook and everywhere. Hashtag Silverado Spotting. Back with the headlines next. Oh, right now. Sorry. How many times did you tell me, Joe?
Maybe 10.
Yeah. That seems like a low number for me. It seems like I'm getting better.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I haven't put on my cosmetics, my makeup yet. I got my Genucel here. You're getting up early. You may need some of this stuff.
You really do. It's radio, so it's theater of the mind. So you think, well, maybe Steve's just making it up.
No, I'm putting it on right now.
A spread of makeup in front of you.
It's just the beginning.
Well, a spread of makeup. There's two tubes.
No,
and they're both
like,
for the eyes.
Rouge.
Well, there's blush. Yeah, and there's some. I wish I knew the other terms. It would make the joke work better.
Mascara.
Okay, mascara. I got that stuff, too.
Foundation.
Yeah. What's the stuff for the eyelashes?
Mascara.
Eyeliner.
Eyeliner.
Well, don't say it like I should know.
Fake eyelashes?
Yeah. I'm putting on the Genucel now and standing by for Charles Lipson. The professor's going to be quite impressed, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at you. You're just
I'm glowing. Don't you think?
You look 5 years younger.
His eyes really perk up after that.
Donald Trump yesterday, the good news is you're waking up this morning and a nuclear war hasn't started. We have potential in the Asian Peninsula. What, in fact, does it mean? Here's Trump. Listen. Yep, I thought we had it. Sorry, my fault, I think. Let's go to Professor Lipson then. Professor Lipson is standing by right now. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
Oh, well, I'm still putting on my blush.
Well played by you, sir. All right, so here's the deal. You, as a professor of international politics at the University of Chicago and a writer for Real Clear Politics, you do the ZipDialogue.com blog and a regular guest on the download. You're a busy man. You got a lot going on. So your expectations going into this, did they match what we got coming out of it?
You know, as I went into it, I was reminded, actually, of a story that I'd once heard, not quite a joke because it was too grim. It was I think it was a comedian who was having a heart operation, and his wife asked him, how long would it
Right. So the fact that we got 6 hours is positive.
That's exactly right. When you look at the statements and everything else, and you kind of move away the hype, they're still pretty vague. The key point seemed to me to be that they have publicly, they meaning Kim Jong-un, have publicly committed themselves to complete denuclearization. Didn't see much about verification, but that's obviously going to be absolutely essential. This isn't even a trust but verify. This is a don't trust but verify. But it was smiles all over. And then on our side, I think to the surprise, actually, of the South Koreans and maybe the Japanese as well, I haven't seen their reaction yet, we are basically suspending joint military exercises, some of which President Trump in the aftermath called provocative, and you could understand why, because they have included what is euphemistically called decapitation exercises, meaning we would go in and take out the regime.
Professor, we've had a lot of conversations on WGN about this, but the idea that these two leaders come together, the North Korean leader, he wants a smaller U.S. military footprint. They want to denuclearize the peninsula, not just North Korea, but South Korea as well. They want to remove the U.S. forces. What is in it for the United States? Is it truly just to remove the threat of nuclear weapons against the West Coast or Chicago or other places that they've said in the past? Is that what that we're trying to do in exchange for a smaller military footprint?
Yes, basically. It's not a just, though, I would just say. You know, look, they have 40,000 plus conventional weapons that are already aimed at Seoul. They could do huge amounts of damage if there was a conflict. They already have nuclear weapons, and we don't know how they could deliver them, but in a short range attack on something like Seoul, you could get them there a lot of different ways. They've flown missiles over Japan, and their last missile went over 2,500 miles total flight. So they're on their way to being able to hit the West Coast, but they could already hit Japan. And it's a very dangerous situation. So it seems to me that the big risk, assuming that they actually, there are two big risks on the Korean side from our point of view. One is, do they take out everything? And the other is, does Kim Jong-un survive politically during the process? The worst thing that could happen in this for denuclearization, not only in Korea, but anywhere else, would be for there to be regime change or a coup in North Vietnam.
All the things you just said make it seem to me, as a United States citizen who's not particularly into what we have militarily designed in Asia, but it seems like we would want to have our military footprint there for the fact that the North Koreans have nuclear weapons.
This is great news. This is great news for China. This is great news for Russia, potentially. And what you just said, Professor, is crucial. Because we think about the impact on us, but inside North Korea, he has to protect his position to stay in power, and we don't know that that's assured at all. And they may have a similar reaction inside the power circle that's closest to Kim, that they're not so wild about what he agreed to, even though it doesn't appear that he agreed to anything to us.
No, I think he did agree to stuff. I do think it's really important that President Trump has said he's not taking off any of the economic pressure until we see things.
Right.
I mean, this is so different from the way that the Iranian joint agreement was exercised, in which we were giving them all kind of sweeteners up front, lots of cash, all kinds of things. This is saying basically, by the way, there is a real danger in all of this. If they don't live up to what they've committed, I just don't see any way that this is not a huge train wreck.
Well, the IAEA, this reminds me of the Saddam days, right? Because the IAEA had this job. They were supposed to be allowed to go into Iraq and see Saddam's weapon sites. And what would happen is Saddam would occasionally say no. And when he said no, there'd be this international back and forth.
Right.
Then he'd eventually move the weapon sites or he'd get more work done. He'd say, whoops, sorry. Come on in, IAEA. They'd take another look. He'd throw them out again a second time a few months later. And the point being, each time he would gradually build up more of what he needed to build up. Well, he said he was disarming. Without full access, how do we know?
This is exactly right. And in the case of Saddam, although we remember how much we missed, we misunderstood what he had. Now, we had a reason for misunderstanding. We knew he had weapons of mass destruction earlier. He had never shown that he had destroyed them, and he seemed to be hiding things when people were inspecting. But it turned out he really didn't have them. He was hiding them mostly to stay in power and not to show Iran and others that he was weak. But we don't even know where the stuff in North Korea is hidden. So, or at least as far as I know, I don't have access to secret information, but my understanding from the intelligence community's leaks are that there's a lot of uncertainty about all their hidden sites, and they have perfected doing things underground. Yeah. My point is simply, it's going to be hard to find all the stuff, but if they mess around and start trying to play hide the ball, this could get very nasty. I'm not predicting that. Professor, I'm just saying you can't mess around with Trump on these deals, as Justin Trudeau just learned the hard way.
Professor, I want to ask just one last question just about you, politics. As I look at this deal and I think about how the Congress is going to react, how politicians in this country are going to react, it does feel that the hawks in the United States aren't going to like this deal for the fact that on the table right now is a smaller footprint in Asia. How do you look at it? Is this something that is going to be a smooth deal that is accepted by American politics?
My sense is that there are so few details in all of this right now that we simply don't know what the U.S. is committing itself to. However, I think if the U.S. Decides to substantially reduce its footprint in Asia, there will be a lot of pushback. If we say we're simply withdrawing a number of forces to Japan or to Australia or to the Philippines or someplace else, that's different. But remember, it's also largely a naval footprint in that area as well. There'll be a lot of debate, but the debate but I think that the main thing is this was a six-hour operation, not a 30-minute.
Right. And there has to be more. Professor, thank you. Professor, thank you very much. Absolutely. I'm going to send over some of my cosmetics for you.
Send it by the truckload.
Oh, stop. Thank you for your time. I know how busy you are, and I appreciate it. What's the where's the website for the blog again? It's Zip what?
ZipDialogue.com. I've been a little slow on it because I'm trying to complete a book, and I'm having fun with that.
Slacking.
Too.
All right. Well, when that's done, get in here and plug it as well. Thank you, Professor Lipson. Trump, as I mentioned a moment ago, here's the president.
You'll be seeing everything in just a little while. The letter that we're signing is very comprehensive, and I think both sides are going to be very impressed with the result. A lot of goodwill went into this, a lot of work, a lot of preparation. I want to thank everybody on both sides, Secretary Pompeo and all of his counterparts. They were absolutely fantastic.
Look, here's the bottom line. Because of what a terrible person he has been throughout his entire life, including since he's been elected, it's hard to root for him. But he is the president of the United States until he isn't, whether that's in 2020 or sometimes before or 2024. And he deserves support for this, regardless of the motive.
Well, I don't know. I agree with you, but I just politically, the issue which keeps being brought up by people who are supporting the president himself, is this is historic, and he's been able to get things done that other presidents have. Well, they've chosen not to have this meeting. They could go in at any moment and be like, hey, I'll have that meeting, and Kim Jong-un's ready to go. The idea is because of the human rights violations, because we don't deal and negotiate with terrorism, we're not going to negotiate because there's nuclear threats, we're not going to remove our military footprint. So it really is interesting. The devil is in the details about,
and there are no details,
what President Trump actually negotiated to get this to happen.
Until we have details, we have no details. A break, and we're back at 720 WGN. Dean's coming up. Stand by for that. The texters continuing to slam us at 312-981-7200 with texts on what starts a fight in your house. 773 sneezing. I think there may be underlying troubles there.
Shouldn't do it.
309 bathroom etiquette.
Mm-hmm.
708 tone of voice. Boy, is that a big deal. Tone of voice is a huge deal.
That's just an umbrella. That's to everything.
773, when my husband takes my mother-in-law's side of an argument instead of mine.
Mm.
Well, your mom's not wrong about... Oh, yeah. 630, anything having to do with the kids, and they're all now in their 30s. Uh-huh. 847, a deep-fried turkey? 847, having you pull your pregnant wife up off a toilet seat because you left it a little bit open.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a great way to lose your life.
But this is about starting arguments.
This
is
how fights start.
More than once.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. 309, my wife and I always fight about whether forks go up or down in the dishwasher.
Okay, that's not worth fighting about.
Well, thank you, Dr.
Oh, yes,
Phil.
Yes, it is.
How about leaving items of clothing where they don't belong?
Oh, sure.
No.
Yeah. You mean like on the exercise piece of equipment that you bought off the internet?
You know, throwing something on the couch instead of taking it to the bedroom, or, you know, leave something by the hamper instead of throwing it in the hamper.
Great closet.
312, what'll start a fight in my house? Calling me by my mother's first name when I've pushed him too far.
Oh, I can see that.
Oh, are you asking for it?
That's terrible.
Thanks a lot, Doris. Back with the news next, then, Dean, on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
Live to Channel 9. Good morning, Dean.
I was having similar technical issues this past Sunday morning when I was doing my show.
So any sort of the intercom stuff was floating out into the ether on the stream?
Just all kinds of things. You know, they've given up fixing anything at the Tribune Tower because we're...
Oh, it's absolutely true.
We're moving.
What is it? Now, Sandberg's here. Sandberg, I've never heard Super Joe curse. If this had been me since 6 o'clock, we'd be off the air by now.
Yeah. No, he's... He actually does just do bird noises.
All right.
That's just not true.
Somehow that's disturbing on a different level.
I would love to hear one of those bird noises.
Go there, Joe.
Well, there is only one.
Like you would know, Mary.
Hey!
Yeah. How do you know he's not doing a whole forest?
Because I can hear him through my ears, too.
So, Dean, when it started with producer Mike Jacobson first, and he to get Steve Grzanich engaged, he would say bird noises to him.
Hmm. Caw-caw, caw-caw.
That's the bird noise, okay?
Oh, that's very peaceful and civilized.
Yeah, but he'd do it this way. Caw-caw, caw-caw!
Yeah, it was a little bit more harsh.
That sounds...
And then Steve Grzanich caw-caws back at them into the booth. Hmm. And then Joe has picked it up. And occasionally I'm encouraged to have to do a bird noise. I typically go quack.
Or cock-a-doodle-doo.
Oh, I do cock-a-doodle-doo, yeah.
Because here's the thing. In some ways, I thought it would be cool that the stream was broken and people would be able to hear it. Based on what they're hearing, it's not so cool.
Yeah, this explanation's a little bit nutty.
Dean, the question, a text question of the day is, what starts a fight in your house? We've got some great responses. 312-981-7200 is the text line. 847, unloading the dishwasher and everything ends up on the counter because he says he doesn't know where anything goes.
That is a load.
Yeah, full load. Right there on the counter.
Full load, rinse.
I'm with that wife.
There are times where certain things might be in the dishwasher that aren't used every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I will plead guilty to that. I don't know where they go, and I put them on the counter. This is not me, by the way. I did not text.
Because it's better than putting it in the wrong place.
Right. Exactly, Dean. Right.
We don't want to upset you, Sandberg.
You know what? Because if I do open the cabinet and there's something placed incorrectly, I'm just as outraged. But the thing that bothers me is
I'm more outraged when that happens. Because if I'm in the middle of a cooking process and suddenly...
You can't find your stuff.
I need something that I don't use very often. I'm like, what the...
Where is it? Some people can't find... We have a drawer with all ramekins. Any small dish that you might need for a side of sauce... The little tiny, thing. If you wanted like a side of barbecue sauce with your food, I would give you a ramekin instead of just pouring it right on the plate where it might touch things.
Why can't you call it a small plate?
Well, it's a little bowl. It's called a ramekin.
It's a tiny bowl.
A little bowl, yeah.
Who's ramekin? Is he the guy that invented it?
She's erudite.
We have a drawer of sized and styled ramekins that go with different place settings, et cetera. And nobody seems to ever be able to figure out that that's where they go back after they've been in the dishwasher.
See, Steve, the ramekin was not on the gift registry when we got married. I had never heard that word until about a year ago.
I can throw one in. Making the bed. Making the bed, I pull the covers back and abandon ship because I never do it right. Now, you could say, learn how to do it right. I'm telling you, I don't know how to do it right because it's clear I don't know how to do it right. Any questions?
That's the core of all of this.
I say why
not
bother.
Not doing it right.
And the bed sheet thing.
Yeah. Oh, I can't get into it about this.
You're just going to get it back in and mess
it
up again.
But don't you want it crisp feeling, Dean?
Crisp enough.
You know what? You want your bed crisp? Join the army.
You want crisp? Put some bacon in between
the sheets.
That's
the argument that I use at my house. When Patrick doesn't make his bed well, which he can do well, I always say people in the military can make the bed, and there's a lot of men doing that, so I don't buy this. Boys aren't as good at it.
It's not a boy thing. I think it's a choice thing.
I think we don't care as much.
Yeah. 563, my husband completely filled up the new bookcase with books instead of me letting me decorate it with the other stuff that'll look better.
Books are very decorative.
Mm-hmm. 414, we fight over the definition of late for an event. Like my late's different than your late. And 847, this one seems problematic when my husband steals and stretches out my new Victoria's Secret panties.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, how about giving him some room? Just give him some room to let him be him. That's all I'm saying.
Don't they make those in the Husky Boy sizes?
You remember that?
Going to Sears? I used to dread that.
Walk into Sears and mom goes, I don't have a lot of time. Where's the Husky Boy pants?
Yeah, loud. Screaming it loudly.
Yeah, good times.
Meantime, I'm over there eating like those warm cashews that they sold at Sears.
In my case, it was the free popcorn thing.
Oh, yeah, that was good too.
Yeah. Rose McGowan's in the news. John Schneider, Dean's old pal's in the news. Lisa Lampanelli is in the news. Ariana, the hot couple.
Very important stand-up comedy question regarding the Lisa Lampanelli question.
Did they have a name for the Ariana-Pete Davidson couple yet?
Not yet.
Pariana?
That sounds like a dental disease.
Well, it's funny. We got a dentist in studio.
That sounds like a gum disease.
A Pete. Yeah, there's nothing that really flows. And good Looney Tunes news, if you're a fan like I am. That's all coming up with Dean. Is it my turn?
No, it's my turn.
Well,
Gordon Lightfoot.
Jump in, man.
I'm getting there. Gordon Lightfoot in concert. I just wanted to give you a minute to get ready for this.
The legend lives on
from Sunday, September 16th, at Copernicus Center. The tour features such hits.
Big Lake, Thick Coal, Get Shigumi. Dean, jump in whenever you hear a hit.
If you could read my mind.
That's one of them. Mm-hmm. Early Morning Rain.
Don't know that one.
Carefree Highway.
Carefree.
I forget about Carefree Highway. I know I've heard it a million times.
I love that.
Sing it, Dean.
The legend lives on.
I can't think of anything.
From the Carefree Highway on down.
What's the next one?
Sundown.
Oh, Sundown. Sundown, you better take care. Yeah, you remember that one?
Former DJs sing the one line of the songs they can remember.
That's what you get for loving me.
Yeah.
I don't remember that one.
Actually, that's not a song. Dave just said that to me.
Oh.
That's what you get for loving me.
Sweet.
And the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
The wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. What a fun song. What a fun birthday song for kids.
Other deep album cuts as well, all woven together with some of Lightfoot's own behind-the-scenes stories.
Come on, Timmy, sing along.
And personal anecdotes.
Still everyone's favorite Gordon Lightfoot, every DJ's favorite Gordon Lightfoot song. wreck of the Ella Fitzgerald, so you could go to the bathroom.
Right. Again, Ella didn't wreck. It was wreck. Edmund.
Whatever.
Yeah. Reserve seat tickets are on sale now at Copernicus Center or online at CopernicusTickets.org.
So you're saying if I go to CopernicusTickets.org, I can get tickets and actually be more entertained than Dean and I singing these songs.
It'll actually be Gordon Lightfoot.
Wow. Well, that is good.
Not if Steve and I are in the front row, it won't be.
Right. Well, who's on whose shoulders?
It depends on the song.
Brought to you by 111 Productions and Danny Zalisco presents.
Anything else you'd like to add at this point?
I don't know any Gordon Lightfoot.
What?
I know. I feel bad. I'm starting to show my age a little bit.
Don't, you know, you're not that much younger, pal.
I mean, I am. I'm the Pete Davidson of this show.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
Okay. It's a brand new Smile Dental Implant Center that sponsors. Brand new Smile Dental Implant Center sponsors this. Don't you have something from the Tribune people that they'd like us to know? I mean, the Tribune people, they'd like a plug here.
Division rivals getting together. There's only one thing to do. Crush it. Tuesday night baseball, White Sox Indians. Tonight at 7, WGN TV.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 9 and 7, 2.
826, you're listening to Moron Entertainment. And, all right, so let's give them more on. Here we go. Yeah, crank it.
Nope. Don't even know it.
This is headbanging right here.
Just like a paperback novel.
When I had hair, I'd like to whip it to this.
Steve, what's a paperback novel?
It'd be funny if he worked in a phone directory as well.
He changes the lyrics to Kindle.
Boy. Rose McGowan, we've reached a point where I think we need to worry about her, don't we?
Well, according to a grand jury, she's facing an indictment for cocaine possession charges from January of 2017. She was accused of possession after the drug was found in her wallet. On a plane that was left on a plane. She reported the wallet lost, and they went through it and found the cocaine. She and her lawyers say that it's her activism against Harvey Weinstein that's making all of this happen. That she's
not
now,
the cocaine.
She is now being framed.
Oh, she's being framed.
Well, it may be
lost
true. It may be true that the Harvey Weinstein thing's happening. But if she had cocaine, wouldn't you think she'd know where it was?
That'd be the worst way to get busted. For cocaine, I left my wallet on a plane. Can you see if it's there?
I just wonder how much
somebody opened it up and went.
I just wonder how much
got cocaine.
How much coke are you doing if you misplace your coke?
They're not saying this exactly, but I think that they're saying she lost her wallet.
Yeah, somebody
when
planted
she
it.
Got the wallet back. There was cocaine in the wallet that
right.
she didn't put there.
John Schneider and Dean go way back to the point where Dean destroyed the John Schneider Dukes of Hazzard vehicle.
Yeah. I was interviewing him at his house. And, you know, he was famous for, on the Dukes of Hazzard show, that he wouldn't open the door of the car to get in. He would just jump through the window.
Yeah, right. This is General Lee?
The General Lee, the famous General Lee. And he had apparently one of the few remaining General Lee cars that still existed. So as a joke, I thought it would be funny for Fatty to try to do the same stunt that he did, knowing full well I wouldn't be able to do it and would fall, but it would be funny for TV.
Comedy.
So I go to do it forgetting that I had a gigantic microphone pack, which is the size of maybe like a carton of cigarettes, metal, all metal, strapped to my belt buckle and back. Mm-hmm. And when I tried to jump in the car, this metal box hit the General Lee and put a rather significant dent in it. Everyone went from laughing, watching Funny Boy trying to laugh into the car, to sudden silence when they saw the big dent that was made in the car.
And remind me, what did Tribune have to pay to fix that?
$6,000.
You Bruce Wolfed it.
Bruce Wolf? What does Bruce Wolf have to do with this?
There's a famous story at the Chicago Auto Show where he keyed one of the as a bit, and then they thought it was great on
That's
camera.
That's a bit? Keying
the
a car?
Off, and then they got mad. You don't remember that? Am I the only one who remembers that?
No. You remember that, David?
I remember it.
Yeah. He keyed a car as a bit?
Yeah, he was at the auto show, and he was doing a bit, and he's like, what if I keyed it? And the guy was like, okay, and he keyed it. and then they turned the cameras off, and everyone was livid. Like, how?
Well,
did
they should have been.
His car, and he
that's
got
intentional.
I think he
that's
got
intentionally
suspended.
Trying to dance.
That's not trying to be entertaining.
I just was. I feel trying to jump in and
same
forgot
family
that I had 12 pounds of metal strapped to my buttocks.
Speaking of 12 pounds of metal, Lisa Lampanelli used to be a big gal.
Do you want to know the John Schneider story? Why we brought him? Why you brought him up in the first place?
Oh, that's right. We never finished, did we? What happened?
He was ordered to 3 days in an L.A. County jail. My pal John Schneider.
Oh, no.
For not paying $150,000 in back alimony. Now, I know that he's got $6,000 worth.
Right. So the number should be 144.
It should be a little less, because I know for sure that we handed over a check for $6,000 to him. But he has not paid back alimony to his now former wife of 21 years. So that is going on. He's, according to reports, is going to be going to jail.
Sell the General Lee.
Well, how about you pay your bills on time, maybe, huh? Yeah.
How about paying child support?
Yeah. Well, Lisa Lampanelli, very funny woman. Not a show you're going to take grandma to, but a very funny woman.
And she heckles everybody. She's known as the Queen of Mean. If you're in the first 20 rows of her show, she's going to attack you.
Think Don Rickles in a dress with an attitude.
On steroids.
Yeah.
And she does not hold anything back
right.
during these shows.
Right.
And I guess some guy got tired of it and stood up and said he would hand her money if she would stop talking.
The story I heard is he handed her a $100 bill. Is that right?
Well, she offered to refund his ticket if he would get out.
Right.
And then he stood up, handed her $100, and told her to shut up. So she really let loose on him. Then she took the money, she tore it up, and threw it back at him, let loose on the guy, let loose on other audience members who were, you know, who got into it and into this big shouting match. You know, does she invite that with her show? I don't know. As a stand-up,
well, she lost the room. I mean, you know, look, there's ways to control a heckler, and there's an unstated or stated agreement between you and the bouncers that if somebody gets out of line, you remove them because you're doing a show. But when you lose the room to the point where you're having that level of fight with the audience member, well, that's on you, unfortunately.
Oh, that's what happened. She did finish the show.
I did a show once in Minneapolis where the lights go down. It's, ladies and gentlemen, Steve Cochran. The lights go up, and on stage is a drunk with the mic.
Oh, geez.
The guy actually went on stage, grabbed the microphone. And I said, could I have that?
Is it possible his name was also Steve Cochran?
No, different drunk.
Okay.
John DeCoss.
Ariana P. Davidson, a listener is suggesting their couple name is Grand Davidson.
That would be nice.
It's okay.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
They've been kind of flirting a little bit with, you know, hinting on social media for the last couple of weeks that there was a thang going on, as the great Billy Paul once sang to Mrs. Jones. The another song that Justin's not going to know.
Me and Mrs. Jones.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah.
Look at that. All right. Well, anyway.
They met every day at the same cafe, 6:30. You know I'll be there.
Why don't you go your way and I'll go mine?
All right, so they're are they really engaged?
So anyway, they've been flirting, but the sources very close to both of them are saying they are now an engaged couple. What could possibly go wrong after
Nothing.
Dating for a few weeks?
Again, I'd repeat what I said to you off the air. Thank God women have a relationship blindness, because you see beautiful women with dopey-looking guys all the time. Yeah, the opposite doesn't work out that often. You don't see that as much.
That
Good
would be,
for them. I think
that would be this case.
I enjoy watching this unfold.
He seems like a very, I don't know him, he seems like a very likable guy. Mm-hmm. She has certainly grown up since the hideous event she went through mm-hmm. at her concert. And, I hope they last, you know, celebrity terms months.
There's the big question. The question that everybody's talking about is, beyond the engagement, is are they too quick to Instagram? Meaning they're all over Instagram and their relationship.
You mean the old way we used to measure relationships?
Right, right. But they both
are you
broken
too
up?
Quick to Instagram?
Pete Davidson was with Larry David's daughter, and mm-hmm. just a couple weeks ago, and mm-hmm. maybe now months, I'm not sure.
About,
there
about
was
a month,
a question of
he broke up with Cassie David, Larry David's daughter, about a month ago. She broke up with her rapper boyfriend,
but I thought
Mac
it was,
Miller, about a month ago.
I thought
so
it was
the
Facebook
Instagram
status thing.
But now they're showing.
But
each
is the
other,
Facebook status thing over?
That's
that
out.
Doesn't
no,
matter.
It's way gone. They
oh, okay.
Have Facebook
but
pages.
Pete,
that's out.
Pete did put on social media two new tattoos that he has. Yeah. One of Ariana Grande's initials
really
on his
idea.
Finger.
It's a bad idea.
And another tattoo of her logo on his neck.
I love it.
I remember when Tyra tattooed my name on her right butt cheek, and I said, "Tyra, that's a terrible idea." It turned out to be right.
I remember when I started doing this segment, and I got the Steve Cochran tattoo on
right
on my right butt cheek.
In case you forgot, you're listening to Moron Entertainment.
We haven't forgotten.
And Looney Tunes is coming back. This is the greatest news.
The greatest story of all time. Except I'm a little bit afraid that when we see these new Looney Tunes cartoons, Warner Brothers has announced they're bringing back Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Sylvester, Tweety, all of the Warner Brothers characters that you grew up with, they're bringing them back for digital and mobile and also some broadcast platform, so they're going to be new cartoons.
But it's going to be this flat computer generated animation, right? Because it has to be.
No, they say that they are promising to do this with a cartoonist driven process.
Well, that would be cool. So you're not going to be able to do the Mel Blanc thing with the voices, but you can come close.
Yeah, that's the part that gets me when I've seen newer generations, and I mean like maybe 1980 after Mel Blanc stopped doing it. It's like, no, that's not Bugs Bunny.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the same guy.
Remember when Bugs Bunny did the Barber of Seville?
God, I love those.
It's just the best. Remember when Bugs Bunny was being chased by, it had to be Yosemite Sam, and Yosemite Sam couldn't understand how he was ready to cook Bugs Bunny in the wood stove, and every time Bugs went into the wood stove, he came back out looking for an ice bucket and other things for the party that was going on inside the wood stove, and he kept going in the wood stove, and finally he goes in the wood stove the last time, and Yosemite Sam opens it, and there's an actual party going on in the wood stove. That's the kind of entertainment that we had in the 70s. Kill the wabbit.
There was always violence. I wonder if they're going to keep the violence.
I hope so.
Me too.
Who doesn't love the violence?
Me too.
I remember when Daffy would get his bill shot off and it'd spin around his head.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've been telling
the grenades that were always going off.
The people at the Lyric Opera, they want me to come and review opera, which I'm not really a fan of. But and I explained to them that the only thing I know about opera is what I've learned from Looney Tunes cartoons.
Bugs Bunny,
all the classic opera songs that they used for, Barber of Seville.
I thought that was the only thing that opera was. I thought it was all Bugs Bunny. So it turns out we're both wrong.
I thought the lyrical composers stole from Looney Tunes before they wrote their actual masterpieces.
Well, I think they did.
400 years ago.
Brand new Smile Dental Implant Center sponsors. More on entertainment. Thank you, Dean.
See you.
Back to the headlines after this on 720 WGN.
I know that it can only be the Steve Cochran Show.
Steve Cochran Show. 8:46. One of the great people anywhere has appeared in our studio. Ann Johnsos is here.
Oh, Ann's here. Ann,
how are you?
Hi, Ann.
I'm good. How are you guys?
Nice to see you.
It's my last time in the Showcase studio.
Yeah.
Right. Remember when we reopened it?
Yes, I do.
Yes, right.
It's like the catacombs.
Ann Johnsos has a book out about her momdom and her kiddom, and it's called?
Potty Mouthed, Big Thoughts from Little Brains.
Yeah, so we'll get more into that in a second, but what starts a fight in your house with Clark, your husband?
I heard earlier gas. Gas is a thing.
All right, go gas.
For sure.
But that's an easy one.
I know.
Come on, there's got to be something. Is it tone of voice? Is there a power phrase? Is it what we talked about before where, hey, calm down.
Dishwasher.
There's so much dishwasher stuff in here. 224, my wife leaves dishes in the sink when the dishwasher is 6 inches away.
I do that.
We argue over the word ground. Ground is only outside floor. Ground is only outside. Floor is inside. Even when the newsroom says the body was found on the ground in the hallway of the house, makes me want to scream. I think if you're having a fight over this, there may be a couple bigger issues.
Or none at all. If you're looking for that for a fight.
Here's how the fight starts in the 630. Honey, how was your day?
Now there are some issues.
262. Lending our lawnmower, not your lawnmower, weekly to the neighbor who prefers to cut her grass in a bikini.
I call that smart.
Isn't that just being neighborly?
Hey, I'm just trying to help. Veronica has got to cut her grass as well.
Such a neighbor name. Nailed the neighbor name.
847, my wife of 34 years will open a drawer or cabinet door and not close it all the way. Drives me crazy. One time I took all the cabinet doors off in the kitchen. Told her, well, you're not going to close them. We don't need to have them.
Passive aggressive.
That's more aggressive aggressive.
It's aggressive aggressive.
847, my wife drinks all the vodka before I get home.
Wait, is that Karen Ennett?
Oh, you know what? Yeah, I was so happy to see you a few moments ago.
815, husband's intimidated by his older sibs. The relative fights, right? That's the car ride home.
Yeah.
You know, where you chime in on the brothers or sisters, and it's blood is thicker than water. I remember having a disagreement about that. Ooh, not good.
Not I good. Can, There's no I win. I can rip on my brother.
But right. not your but wife.
You want other people yeah, ripping
she
on
starts,
your brother.
If she, I'll be like, that's it. No.
6-3.
My lazy brother.
6-3-0. I bought another guitar. Hey, it could have been a boat. 779. Nothing starts a fight at my place. I'm now living alone. Oh. Cleared up that problem. 312. Prior to the dishes entering the dishwasher, do the dishes belong in the sink or on the side of the sink?
Just in the dishwasher.
Yeah, just go ahead and put them in the dishwasher.
Put them right in there. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
773, World War III starts when I put the toilet paper over the back instead of on the front. Over the back, so that's under
what?
As yeah. opposed to over.
This is an age-old argument.
This is an Ann Landers, Dear Abby thing, like in the 70s.
There are ancient scribes who drew paper rolls like that. Yeah, it's over, not under.
I just feel like when I hear those arguments, I'm like, well, I'm very zen. I feel like I'm very progressive. I don't have those arguments. Who cares? Yeah, who cares which way the toilet paper
There's a fine goes, line so. Between zen and lazy.
I'm lazy. I probably get angrier about people who get angry about that. Like, I don't get angry about actually the toilet paper roll. I get angry when people are like, it's got to be a certain way. Then I'm like, oh, come on.
219.
My stuff.
219. Okay, finished the chores. Ready to read the paper. Where's the paper, honey? Thought you read it. Threw it out.
All right, I do that.
Do you throw it out without asking?
Well, just anytime he puts anything down on the counter that I think should be put away, I put away before he's used it. But don't put it down, man.
Here's one we haven't seen earlier. Toenail clipping.
Ew.
I keep the paper in the recycle bin.
And then just read it when you like to?
No, and then it gets thrown out, and I'm like, what happened to the paper?
Well, just go get it out of the bin, right? I mean.
But now it's in the, and well, not that it's too complicated.
And here's one I guarantee you he says to me, to you, and has never said to his wife. 847, when my wife tells me what I like.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of those where you're not saying that at home. You're not saying that at home.
Well, yesterday I was in the car, and this is the weekend.
You sure want to bring this up?
Ariana Grande is on. Great, great. I don't know if you've heard of her.
We're still on air.
Is that why you have that tattoo on your neck?
Yeah, that's why I have the tattoo. And I'm singing along. I'm kind of singing. Yeah, and my wife, and she says to me, this is the greatest thing she's ever said to me. She goes, all she says, you are a grown man. And I was like,
right.
And I just after about 30 seconds, turned the radio off, and it lingered. I was angry about that. I was seething because I was like, I should have the right in my car to like whatever I like. And in this moment, I like Ariana Grande, and I want to sing about it.
I so wish we could have watched you through your windshield at that moment.
We have that video. Okay. Yeah, we're going to post it to social. What's and the most important text of all, what's Opera Doc? That was the name of the Bugs Bunny opera chunk weird sketch
that was so good.
We were mentioning earlier.
Was that the Kill the Rabbit?
Yeah, Kill the Rabbit. That's the one. Yeah. And God, the cartoons now suck.
Oh, yeah.
Just awful.
There's one called Caillou.
Oh,
have you seen it, Justin?
It's terrible.
It's the noise you make when you sneeze.
The kid is bald, and all he does is whine, and his mom doesn't wear a bra.
Yep.
That's the whole bit?
It's pretty universally much. Hated on the internet. It's like one of these where that usually there's a low threshold.
For honestly, is there any cartoon show outside of The Simpsons that is good cartoon now?
No, I think there are. I think
Family Guy.
Yeah, Family Guy.
All right, instead of The Simpsons and Family Guy. is there anything else?
Stuff. Adventure Time on Cartoon Network was great, and Regular Show, those kind of shows.
I really enjoyed the reboot of Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Particularly when one of the monsters was the gluten monster.
Ah,
they're
sure.
being attacked by gluten.
Great. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's funny stuff.
Remember what my old friend, the late John Panette, said?
What?
Gluten. I don't know what it is, but apparently it's the stuff that makes food taste good.
That is correct.
8:53. Ann Johnsos is here, and she's going to read her book. I would have thought you would have read it by now.
Oh, well, Justin's got the book. Do you want me to read it?
I have one, yeah.
Oh, no, you mean...
you got to do a reading at the right book here, stall.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, the 15th. So, actually, I'm about a month from now, I'll be at the book stall in Winnetka.
Fine. People should make a note of it. And then what's going on the 16th?
It's called Louder Than a Mom. It's at Martyrs, which is on North Lincoln in Chicago. And moms and some dads get up and do sort of stand-up about parenting. Have you done it, Justin?
I haven't, but Nicole Hollander, who does the Sylvia cartoon,
yeah,
she's been a part of that for years, and she is was on the show last week, so we talked a little about it.
One of the reasons I think people really like your book is because it touches on that. It's like it's okay to be really annoyed at being a parent at times, but also it's all funny if you take a step back from it.
Yeah, and the step back is kind of key, but yeah, everything they say after a little while is funny. And usually the joke is on me.
Yeah, and you got to have a sense of humor about it or you're not going to survive. Potty Mouth, Big Thoughts from Little Brains. It's available for Father's Day, obviously.
Yes.
You should get three copies.
Right, because you probably have three fathers.
Well, depends on who you're talking to. But it is 2018. You might lose one, and then you've got one to gift.
Right, for your other father.
Along with the
right
one you keep.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's the 80s sitcom, My Three Dads. We all remember it.
Exactly. Right. And a baby.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know what show you two are doing. Potty Mouth, how do we get the book?
It's at Amazon, so that's one way. But I looked on Amazon today, and it said 20 copies left. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Well, let's get some more.
Yeah, we have more at the publisher. They'll send them out.
And with all the readings that you do, and you continue to do them around the area, are more and more people coming out and telling you stories about their own lives and their own relationships and what their kids have said?
Yes, and you know, the idea, so I've got another book in the works that would be like this, but the real idea is to have everyone who's come up to me give me 5 conversations that were really good conversations with their kids when they were little. Maybe mm-hmm. maybe you could do something about Abigail, mm-hmm. but you give me the 5 conversations and I do an anthology, a compilation of the best funny things kids have said, because
sure,
really no one wants my kids the entire time, right? So Justin, you could say what my I know we don't like to talk about Miles on the air.
No, we can.
Okay. It's a collection.
He loves it.
It's a collection of talks you've had with your kids.
Yeah. And
little things and big things.
And everybody has a great moment that's unbelievable. So I got one from a guy at my college reunion, and he said he was brushing his daughter's hair, and she said, ow, ow, ow. And he says, you know, sometimes being beautiful is painful.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife came down the stairs, and she was gussied up for something, and his daughter said, wow, you look painful.
See, those are perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
And the thing is, if you don't write those down or make a note of them, you're never going to remember them.
Yeah. Right.
So like Ross and Amy said hilariously brilliant things for years.
They still do.
They still do. But when they were growing up in the 90s, we didn't have pens and paper.
Right.
We just had town criers who would go from village to village.
Stone.
And tablets.
Tablets.
And stone,
yes, tablets.
The different kind of tablet. Yes.
When we were just in New York, Miles said to me in the cab when we were going in, he looked, he goes, man, the architecture here is top notch.
How old is he?
He's 10.
Well, of course. He knows his architecture.
He's crossing over into top adult notch conversation.
Miles Van Der Rohe.
Yes. Oh, notch. Nicely there done, Miles Van Der Rohe.
Yes. All right. Let's talk about your podcast.
Yes.
What's it called?
Apparently.
Uh-huh.
It's, you know, a-parent-ly. Uh-huh.
Did you think about duh-parently for a minute?
That's my next one.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. No, yeah. I thought of it, and then I could only find apparently on the URL.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like, hey, we'll go with that. It is a parenting podcast for absolutely average parents, and I co-host it with Tracy Huvelman Weiner. We met in 1994 when she was producing Spike Odell and I was producing Bob Collins.
Right, I got to tell my favorite part of the Tracy Weiner story. Producer here for 18 years?
No, 6. But
no,
you made
longer
it feel
than
longer.
That.
No, 6 years.
She only produced Spike for 6 years?
Yeah.
Okay, produced Spike for 6 years, produced me for 2 months.
Yeah.
And then got out of the business.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, she did.
Mm-hmm.
Although she will argue that it was because she...
Never liked me?
Okay.
No,
yes.
That's
that was
true
the argument.
And
it
actually,
was a timing.
So,
thing.
And you and I met at Tracy's wedding.
Yeah.
So you know,
so
the world gets smaller.
Time.
It was magic time.
Yeah.
But so she is married in the suburbs. Her kids are about. Her daughter's 10 weeks older than my daughter. Her son's a few months older than my other daughter. We're raising them at the same time, parallel universes. And she is well. If you listen to the podcast, she laughs like a cartoon character.
I told you the other day on the phone, she's got the Art Norman laugh. She's the female Art Norman.
It is so much fun. And when I'm, I edit afterwards, I sort of, you know, monitor the levels, and I always have to take her levels down because her laugh is, and then, but I just want to play it again and again and again.
Yeah, it should be your ringtone.
It should be.
So where do we get the podcast?
WGNRadio.com. You can go into the podcast. You can go to Plus, and then I don't. You guys, what is it? iHeartMedia or I?
Yeah, iHeart. Well, basically any place you get podcasts, including TuneIn and iHeartMedia, and wherever your podcasts are available, you can pick it up there.
Yeah, and you
and you're doing one a week.
Yes. So we just cut our Father's Day episode yesterday that we'll play. But we've done youth sports and, you know, the craziness that is.
Which one was I on? Was I on the debut episode?
You were on debut where we talked about ghosts in the nursery and
am I going to get rebooked or did it not go well?
We'll talk about that later. No, it went very well. And in fact, thanks for that boost because we really are just, we're booking people for their audiences.
Potty-mouthed.com. P-O-T-T. Y-M-O-U-T-H-E-D.com. That is where you go for all things related to the book, for all things related to the podcast. You can go to WGNRadio.com and pick it up there. Any other social we need to mention? You want to give out your phone number or your email or anything?
Yes, 555. No, but apparently does have a Facebook page. So on Facebook, if you go to a-parent-lee, you can find it there. And then we love hearing from people. The Father's Day podcast was fathers who actually called in and told us their favorite advice from their own dads, which was kind of cool.
I don't know if mine was advice because it was get me a beer.
And then whack at the back of the head.
That was the remote. I had the first remote in our neighborhood, so my father would smack me the number of times for the channel he wanted. So channel 2, channel 5, channel Fox 32 was not good for me.
Thank God there was no cable.
Right, exactly. Great to see you, as always.
Great to see you.
And hang out. You know, something good might happen in this 9 o'clock hour. CLTV has joined us. And we've got a couple of folks who are kind enough to donate to a local event, and their big prize is to come in and hang out on the show. And they've actually got a new business, so we'll talk about that coming up. And Orion Samuelson, Memories of the Tower, before 10 o'clock as well, Bill and Wendy time. We'll come back, get your news in a moment on 720 WGN and CLTV.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
It's 9:17, making 9:18, and the Laver Cup's coming to town. I want to talk a little tennis here in just a second. Before we get to that, though, just to reiterate what we've covered so far on the program, you can text in on the text question of the day, what starts a fight at your house, 312-981-7200. The texts have been phenomenal, greatest audience in history. Doing nothing but great things and supplying us with endless entertainment. So what starts a fight at your house? 312-981-7200. Here's what we know about the Donald Trump, Kim Jong-un, Dennis Rodman triumvirate that ended up in Singapore. The walk away is that there is potential for peace and lasting peace between the Koreas. It doesn't mean there's going to be a Korean unification anytime soon. There is potential for North Korea to denuclearize. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. But there is potential. And one of the most important pieces, Justin, you brought this up off the air. One of the most important pieces is a communications line established between Pyongyang and Washington, which didn't exist before. The old movie TV show cliche of a red phone on the Oval Office desk is not a cliche. It existed with Kennedy. I think it existed all the way through Reagan. And at the end of the Cold War, the red phone went away, symbolically and figuratively for that matter. So here's the deal. We don't know a lot today, but what we do know is there's potential. However, it also serves Donald Trump's purposes to change the news cycle and get it off the Mueller conversation. And in addition to that, we don't know that we got much back other than a photo op so far in exchange for a big win for Kim Jong-un.
Well, I just wonder, and this seems to be the MO of this president, this idea that he would rather have his own relationships with other foreign leaders as opposed to the standing historical relationships that the country has had.
Right. So rewriting all of it.
Well, is that maybe not rewriting, but just he's more comfortable with the idea of having a communication that's face-to-face. You saw this even after his inauguration, right when he was elected.
he was calling some leaders around the country that were not recognized by the United States State Department, things of that nature. So
yeah, Taiwan.
Yeah, so the idea here may be just that this is the way that this president does business. Now, will that continue, say, in 4 years, 8 years, whatever it is, when Donald Trump is out of office, where U.S. presidents will continue that relationship?
4 months,
or if
8 months.
This is a cult of personality.
Yeah, and the problem with rewriting the rules is the rules exist for a reason, and they're not all bad. Some of them deserve to be broken, and some of them should be, but some of them exist for a reason. And the entwinement, you think about Christmas lights, you're trying to untangle them at Christmas time, because last year, once again, you didn't put them away in an organized way, you just stuffed them in the box. Mm-hmm. That's the relationships we have with other countries in the world. You can't just say I'm doing it this way and not expect there's not going to be implications with China, with Russia, with South Korea, with Japan. It all has to play.
I'm fascinated to see how the Republicans react in Congress. That's what I want to see today.
So
how
much far
they talk about this, because it seems almost the idea of giving up a military footprint would, that's their bread and butter. And so I'm interested to see if they are in step with the president or if they get out of line.
Well, so far, Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan, again, have severe laryngitis. They're not able to speak at this time. Let's talk some tennis. And joining us on the phone for a very cool event is Steve Zaks, Managing Director of the Laver Cup. Hey, Steve.
Good morning, Steve.
What a shocker at the French Open, huh?
Yeah, that was hard to predict.
Is he ever not going to win the French Open?
I think eventually that'll be the case.
We're the French Open, the latest major to wrap this weekend. Roger Federer, I think, will still be your favorite for the remainder of the season. What are you saying to me, Dave?
No, go ahead.
No, what were you going to say?
No, I was saying, Rafael Nadal.
Yeah, but Federer, I think, will be your favorite for the majors going forward. Nadal, I should mention, yeah. Nadal, in case you missed it, did win the French Open. Steve is the managing director of the Laver Cup. Explain to folks who want to see great tennis and know that there's limited access. What does that mean?
Well, the Laver Cup is an international men's team tennis competition. It's inspired by golf's Ryder Cup. In our case, six top players from Europe take on six of their counterparts from the rest of the world over 3 days. And our theme is that rivals become teammates. And at last year's Laver Cup, Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal, who you were just talking about, played doubles together for the very first time. But it's a very cool event. You see players who normally compete with each other on the same team, rooting for each other, competing for the cup, in this case, the Laver Cup. And at this year's event, you're just mentioning Roger Federer, the 20-time Grand Slam champion, will be making his first time ever appearance in Chicago. Wow. At the Laver Cup.
How about that? Where and when?
So this will be taking place from September 21st through 23rd at the United Center. And there's five sessions of tennis over those 3 days. Fans can see the top players compete in both singles and doubles. And for more details, you can always go to lavercup.com.
When you guys announced this, I was at a Blackhawks game, and Rod Laver was there that night sitting in the box next to us at his first hockey game ever. And he was a good sport about it, wasn't exactly enthralled with it, but he was very excited talking about the Laver Cup. And as he should be, because as I said, we don't get enough chance to see great tennis. We see some of the old guys come through in exhibitions, but this is the top of the game, right?
It is. Now, that was a great night. Rod actually got to meet Bobby Hull that night. So two great legends together at the hockey game. But as you were mentioning, the event was initially conceived by Roger Federer as a way to recognize Rod Laver. And many consider Roger the greatest of all time, and he says Rod is the greatest of all time. When Rod played, you had to be an amateur to play the Grand Slam tournaments. You couldn't make a living playing. And so after winning all four majors in 1962, Rod joined up with some other of the top players and went pro, and they started their own barnstorming tour. And from 1962 through 68, he couldn't play the Grand Slams. And it forced the majors to once again allow those pros back in, creating the open era. And that then led to the great expansion of tennis and the opportunity for Roger Federer and others to make a great living playing over all over the world. And so this was Roger's idea to give something back to Rod.
Cool.
Tell this story, let the fans know about the history of tennis.
Ray, short on time for both of us here, but before we let you go, Dave, jump in.
Yeah, Steve, do you see this perhaps as following in the path of, and I know you want to set your own course, of course, but maybe following the path of the Ryder Cup in golf and what that's meant in terms of international competition?
We absolutely do. The first one was held in Prague in 2017. It was a huge hit. Fans love it. The players love it. They wished it was happening more than once a year, they said. So this year it'll be in Chicago, and we're expecting a great event.
Great to talk to you. Website one more time for people that want information?
Sure. Please go to labourcup.com or Ticketmaster.
I know we'll talk before the event, and let's see if we can get the guys on to talk about it as well.
That would be great. Thanks for having me on this morning.
You bet. And the Laver Cup coming to Chicago.
That sounds awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
And you're going to
really
try to play, right? The exhibition before the matches?
We're doing a new thing. I don't play doubles. I play quads, where there's two people in front of me and another guy next to me in the back. Because even though, you know, I'm dropping some weight here, limited lateral movement at 57.
Right.
You know, and by that, I mean I take an Uber to get to some areas of the tennis court.
You should be the honorary ball boy who goes back and forth.
French Open, yeah, okay. Who face planted in the wall.
It's just
that could be you, Steve.
He grabbed the ball. You know the kid I'm talking about? He grabbed the ball, turned around. He was going so great, and that clay, a little slippery, right into the wall. And then he turned around and he did the thing you do when you trip, where he acted like nobody saw him,
mm-hmm,
as he bled.
Look back at the clay. Oh, what's that? What's the clay?
We saw the guy collide with the player, clay? Too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Generally, that's frowned upon.
Yes.
A couple new friends in studio. When you get an opportunity to bid on coming by the show, you should do it. Wait for the blatant plug these two guys are going to get in just a second.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
In studio, Dr. Joe Rubis. Doctor, you were at an event where?
Down at Bolingbrook Golf Club for Joliet Catholic Academy.
And you bid on a chance to come and hang out on the show.
Yep, it was my father who was there, actually, Dr. David Rubis.
Is he listening now?
I'm sure he is.
Good morning, doctor. And that's your dad's practice, dental practice, originally?
Yeah, my dad was our founder 40 years ago for Advanced Family Dental.
40 years ago in dentistry. You know what they did? They took like a ball peen hammer and smack you in the mouth, numb it up, and then put the tooth in. You know, you extracting teeth, tie a string around it, tie the Buick to the string and floor it. I mean, that's pretty much what happened, wasn't it?
Yeah.
As far as I know.
Somebody sent me a picture the other day from the Museum of Science and Industry and all their old antique dental tools, and they're like, I thought of you.
Yeah, two words, spit sink. Now, was the merger, or I don't know if to call it a merger or the acquisition with your partner who I'm about to introduce, Dr. Rowe's company, was that underway at that point when your dad picked this up? Or is Dr. Rowe a bonus to us?
Dr. Rowe is a bonus today. He's a bonus to Advanced Family Dental also.
Dr. Rowe, what's the name of the company?
We're Chicagoland Smile Group. We're 14 locations here in Chicago, and after our acquisition of Advanced Family Dental, we're 28 locations.
How about that?
In and around the Chicagoland area.
It seems like consolidation in the dental business, too, right? That's the thing?
Yes, in a lot of health.
Well, the whole point of doing a nice thing and being generous to a charity and coming in is to give you room to say why you're special. So what do you guys do that's different?
Yeah. So at Chicagoland Smile Group, we're over 100 dentists and dental specialists. For us, our 28 locations are now within a 15-mile drive from any location in Chicagoland. So convenience is a big thing. High-quality dental care for families and from adults to children. And then it's the quality, and it's the convenience of being open on early mornings, being open on nights and weekends.
Yeah, the hours thing is a big deal, right?
Yeah.
Because people don't have to take time off from work.
Yeah, I talk a lot about like money value of time, and I think in today's family industry.
I've never had a dental emergency that's happened 9 to 5.
No, exactly. Well, we were talking about the kid, French Open kid, who face planted. Did you think he needed to fly over?
Yeah. We just tweeted him and said, you know.
If we're available?
Yeah, we're available.
Dr. Joe, you're doing a lot of orthodontia?
Yeah, as a general dentist, you know, we still do a lot of orthodontics. We see kids, you know, this summer coming up, you know, school exams will be big for us.
What's new in braces? Is anything new in braces?
There's a lot new in braces, actually. You know,
color coordinated with my outfit, those kind of things.
You know, for adults, we have a lot of clear aligner therapy, like Invisalign, which is great. Yeah. You know, our understanding of how growth and development is has changed dramatically in the past 15 years. So early treatment for kids as young as 5 to 7 years old helps prevent a lot of problems in the future.
How old should a kid be in their first dental visit, Dr. Rowe?
The American Association of Pediatric Dentists wants you to get there by your first birthday.
First birthday.
Yeah.
And you need a special pediatric dentist to handle that?
I think it depends. We have a really great team of general dentists.
Scary along for with a kid. Bunch of strangers coming at them with the stuff?
I think usually the first visit is something like more of just getting acquainted with the dental office, just making the unfamiliar familiar.
It's a North Korea summit.
That's a very good point. Yeah. That's an excellent point. Yeah. And the one question, which I think we can all agree on, that we've all wondered, do you guys try to converse with us when we're numb and our mouth is full for your own amusement, or do you actually understand what we're saying?
We call it speaking dental, and I think both Dr. Joe and I are pretty fluent in the language of dental.
So we don't have to be flailing to know that we have a problem or conversing in just general terms. Like, if you want to talk politics with me,
why conservatives are Trump?
You can tell me exactly what I said.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a gift.
Yeah, it's a gift. It's learned over time.
How'd you get in the business?
I actually, funny enough, when you were talking about the kid at Roland Garros, I fell on my face when I was 7 years old and cracked some of my front teeth. And ever since then, like, the art and science of dentistry was very interesting. And there's a good business side to it, and I wanted to be in healthcare. So
yeah, your teeth look great now.
Thanks.
Yeah,
thanks,
Dr. Joe. I assume it was Dad, huh?
Yeah, my father was a big influence on me getting in the business. And, you know, I've been working in the dental field since I was about 15 years old, you know, starting doing charts and, you know, assisting and...
In all of it.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so if you're going to be out in Plainfield or Romeoville, closer to Dr. Joe, or downtown and all around for the Chicagoland Smile Group, you want to send them to one website? Is that what you do?
Yeah.
Go to advancedfamilydental.com. You know, 14 locations in the southwest burbs. And I'm out of the Plainfield and Romeoville location myself.
All right. And Dr. Rowe, good luck with this. Sounds like you guys are going gangbusters.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's an exciting partnership. We're really excited about being 28 locations here in Chicagoland.
And your dad's name again is?
Dr. David Rubis.
He's the generous one in the family who stepped up.
Yes, he is.
By the way, why didn't he come in today?
He gave the airtime to me and Roe.
Oh, well, that's nice of him.
Yeah.
Well, Dad always doing it for the kids.
I'd rather do the courtside seats or maybe the Blackhawks tickets.
Then come in here?
Like that.
Well, you work here. Why would you pay to come in? You work here.
When you're there, you're like, I can get this framed jersey.
Unbelievable. I think it worked out great for you guys.
I can go to Steve Cochran show? Nah, I'll go with the jersey.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for hanging out.
Thank you.
9:36. Coming up, Orion Samuelson, Memories of the Building on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, I got me a firewalk. I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on a riddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy.
Woo-hoo! 9:47. Normally, we take a few extra minutes of the O to talk business. But, if you don't mind... Today, I'd rather have you talk about all the years here at the Tribune Tower before we leave this building. We think it's going to be Friday for our final shows here.
Okay.
So you guys were at Bradley. Well, you were here, and then you went to Bradley Place, and then you came back.
And then we came back. I came to WGN from Green Bay in September of 1960, and I spent 6 months in the tower, and then the facility at Bradley Place was finished, so we moved out there. But interestingly enough, I do remember very vividly my first day at the tower. Because here's this dairy farm kid from Wisconsin who'd been broadcasting in Green Bay agriculture news for about 4 years, and WGN called, and my golly, here I'm coming. So I drove down in my 1949 blue Chrysler New Yorker. Man, beautiful car.
I bet you were bad in that car. I bet you were looking, you were just fly for the ladies. You know what I'm talking about, oh?
I know what you're talking about, yeah. But when I got downtown to the tower, and I had to be in there, I think, by about 4:30, I didn't know where to park, and there were not really any parking lots close by. So I got onto Lower Michigan Avenue, and I found an open place on the lower level of Michigan Avenue, and I parked there. That afternoon, when I came out to go home, all four of my tires were flat.
Oh.
They hadn't been cut, but they had let the air out of all four tires, and I quickly got the message, this is somebody's parking place, don't park here again.
Oh, they literally took the time to deflate your tires.
At least they didn't cut them. They deflated all four of them.
At least. Were...
Yes. All four of them. And, you know, at that point, I was new to downtown. Where do I go to get air for my tire? And I forget what I finally got done. But I think I was delayed getting home by about an hour and a half. So,
you know, it's funny. People have been asking for weeks now since we announced this move. Oh, it's got to be super tough. You're going to leave the building. I've been here most of the last 18 years, except for that part where I got fired and I left. But my memories are the people that worked here, not the physical structure of the building. Having said that, it's a really cool lobby, and I'll miss the lobby.
Yeah, it really is. Well, I think, isn't it a national historic landmark?
Yeah, exactly.
And, which means it can't be changed. And yes, it is an impressive building. I enjoyed very much the time I spent in the building until the mid-80s when we, until we moved out and then came back. And it's been a pleasure. You know, every day I walk by the front of the building and I take time to look at one or two of the rocks or stones or landmarks implanted in the wall. And I hope they don't leave. I hope that the new owners will leave them there.
My understanding is the front of the building, the facade, and the lobby and the Nathan Hale lobby, all of that particular area is going to remain. But everything above it, and everything behind, is going to go for the sake of offices, condos, and a new hotel.
Yeah, which I find rather strange. I somehow don't see the tower as a hotel, but then I'm not a builder or a developer, so I guess other people do see that. And, of course, the address, I think, is important.
So I think about you working with Wally and working with Bob and working with Spike and getting up at this early hour every day. Is there something special about this building, aside from what we just discussed, that you would want people to know?
Well, yeah, there's a lot that is special about the building because I worked with Eddie Hubbard, who was the morning man when I arrived, and then, of course, Wally, and then Spike and Bob. And, you know, the first time Bob came on the air at WGN, I didn't know him, and I listened to him, and I thought, this has got to be the end of WGN, because he was nothing like Wally, at least I didn't think, and he had this cackling laugh that kind of lit up the airwaves, and I thought, man, it's too big a change for WGN and its listeners. We're not going to survive this. And, of course, by the time he was killed, he was my closest friend at the station because we often talked about going to homes in Arizona, sitting on the front stoop and watching the desert go by. I have to tell you, because I did meet a lot of famous people that came in to be on various programs, and Roy Leonard, when he was doing the morning show, would bring in a lot of big name guests, and I'd go in to do my market report. He'd always make it a point to introduce me to his guest, and to me, the most exciting guest on the Roy Leonard Show that I ever met was Sophia Loren.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely a beautiful lady.
Nothing got the old blood pumping like that guest.
Yeah, sure was. Didn't see anything like that in Ontario, Wisconsin, or Green Bay, Wisconsin. So, but she was delightful. She was very warm. She stood up, shook my hand, and said, nice to meet you. And so, and as I say, there were a lot of them. And of course, in the early days that I was at the tower, we had the International Livestock Show at the amphitheater. So we'd do, I didn't spend a Thanksgiving at home for 11 years after coming to Chicago because I was always at the amphitheater. Sure. Doing the broadcast there. And the bands that I've gone through, a lot of people find this fascinating because because when I came in 1960, we had studios on four floors of the tower. And I missed a few market reports because of slow elevators.
Sure.
I couldn't get from my office to the right place. But in the early days, the hour at noon that was devoted basically to agriculture was called Country Fair. I had a five-piece band and a girl singer. Then one day a week, I had the Bob Trendler Orchestra, 16 people, later became the Bozo Circus. Then I had Dolph Hewitt and the Sage Riders. We had the Barn Dance, and we had Lino Frigo in the musical Wheels, Captain Stubby and the Buccaneers that all worked with me inside the tower.
And people think I make up band names.
Well, Captain Stubby and the Buccaneers was on WLS, which was the Prairie Farmer Station, until April 30th of 1960, and then they became wonderful WLS rock and roll overnight. And so I went to Ward Qual, who was our president at WGN, and I said, you know, it's a shame to let this program die, because I grew up with it, farmers all across the Midwest with our 50-kilowatt transmitter grew up with it. And so he went along with the idea, and we moved the agricultural coverage to WGN and the old National Barn Dance that used to be at the 8th Street Theater, which is now the Conrad Hilton Hotel. But we took the Barn Dance out of that theater, moved it to Bradley Place at WGN, and we'd do the shows there every Saturday night. We'd do a barn dance show with Bob Atcher and Red Blanchard, who is the funniest person I've ever known. He was the comic on the barn dance, and he was just absolutely hilarious. So, yeah, a lot of memories, but life moves on, and we will too.
And the new facility, oh, you're going to love it when you get a chance to spend some time over there, and it's a testament to Tribune Media that they're spending that kind of money in 2018 and their commitment to radio, and that's all good. So thanks for the memories, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, I'll be back the end of the week.
Yes, you will. Thanks for that. That's Big O. Bill and Wendy coming up. Senator Durbin tomorrow on the program, amongst other things. Thanks to everybody listening today. By the way, we will continue the text question tomorrow. I'll make it part two. We didn't have time to really dive into that.
So many great texts.
What starts
so
a fight
fights.
In your house?
So
what
many fights.
Starts a fight in your house? 312, calling me by my mother's first name when I've pushed him too far. We argue often, and lending our lawnmower to the woman next door who prefers to wear a bikini when she cuts the grass.
Also, Steve calls her Veronica.
Yes, I do. And tone of voice. Tone of voice is a big one that keeps coming up all the time. Here's another mom one: when my husband takes my mother-in-law's side of the argument instead of mine. Mm-hmm. All of those. Hey, Ann Johnso said we should mention again, potty mouthed website.
Pottymouthed.com, potty with a dash or without, pottymouthed.com. Also, Big Thoughts from Little Brains is the rest of it. And
the podcast?
Apparently, which is what Tracy and I are doing, apparently, right here on WGN.
Right. You got a quick memory of the building?
Yeah, just a quick one. In the wee small hours of the morning when I produced Bob Collins, his wife would send him with a lunch every day.
The lovely Christine. Yes.
God, I love her. And he would send me to the cafeteria to get a bagel with diet cream cheese, as he thought it was, but it was never diet cream cheese. I would just put regular cream cheese on and bring it to him. He's like, this is the best diet cream cheese I've ever had.
You never told him the truth?
Never told him.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. That's a nice thing.
Yeah.
You flying solo today?
No, Bill will be here.
Okay.
He's running late.
How much are you enjoying that?
Wow.
I know. This is twice in the last 2 weeks I have beat him here. That never happens.
It'll be a plague of locusts. Next thing you know, I'll be... Let's not go crazy. Wendy's here. Bill and Wendy are right now. We'll see you tomorrow.